Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, come on, the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
What a hit on punch. Oh, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
You here on Giants.com. We appreciate you tuning in, watching, listening. Obviously, as you know, this show is for Giants fans. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. If you want to get into the show, that's how you do it. Also, both Paul and I will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. So if you've got a question or a comment, you want to hit us up, by all means, hashtag Giants Chat. We will share them with you throughout the show. Really excited. A lot to get to today. A lot of topics. We're here broadcasting as the Giants are outside right now practicing. And a lot of topics, really, heading into a mini camp next week that's going to be really exciting. Mini camp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. Both Paul and myself are going to be here, of course, for Big Blue Kickoff Live and covering everything that's going to transpire. But we have a very special guest we're going to kick the show off with today. He's a former Giant, Dave Tollefson, one of my favorite Giants that I had the pleasure of covering here at the facility. Dave, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Enjoying myself out here in Omaha, raising three young boys and married to my best friend. Not too bad.
That's great. I think the last time I saw you, if you recall, and your best friend, was outside the hotel in Indianapolis. I want to say it was the night before the big game. Do you remember that? It's okay.
I think you don't. I think I do.
I think you and your wife were coming into the hotel and we ran into each other. And then I think I had the pleasure of meeting your mom, who's just such a hoot anyway. But I think that's the last time that I had a chance to see you. And let me tell you something, extremely missed in this locker room. I mean, what a difference it was to cover this locker room with you in it as opposed to you without. So why don't you fill in, you know, what have you been doing? Where are you now? Kind of get us up to speed on Dave Tollefson and your life.
I guess I retired now two seasons ago, I suppose. Again, we had another boy when I was with the Giants. My second son was just born as I was leaving. His name is Cade. And now we had our little miracle baby. I call him a miracle. My wife wasn't too excited when she got pregnant with him. I think we're going to be done at two. We had our third son, David Samuel. I live here in Omaha, Nebraska. I've been doing a lot of hunting and fishing. And I just took a defensive line job at Iowa Western Junior College, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but they played in the national championship last year and won it in 2012. So I'm excited about doing that this next season.
Well, now, Dave, you got two Super Bowl rings for two of the boys. You got a third one now. Congratulations. But now you got to get a JUCO national championship, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. My wife said he can have her necklaces, but I wouldn't imagine that he'd be wearing a women's necklace around. But you never know.
So a lot of changes here at the Giants facility. One in particular, and defensive coordinator who you're very familiar with is Spags. He's back as the defensive coordinator for the New York Football Giants. Wanted to get you on and get your thoughts in regard to what was it like playing for him, your thoughts on him as a defensive coordinator, and how really – his system different than Perry Fuel's and how it might change things here this season?
You know, I'm super excited to have Spags back. You know, I love Perry. He was a great coach. But as you guys know, sometimes things can get stagnant and you just got to make a change. It didn't work out great for Spags as a head coach, but I'll tell you what, there's not many better defensive coordinators in the league as far as how they use their personnel. You know, Spags will get everything out of everybody on that defense. I know, you know, he had packages for me as, I think, the fourth and fifth defensive end in that defense when I was playing for him. So he'll do a great job of using all his personnel. He's a great personality. He's extremely smart as far as just understanding what offenses do and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it's a great hire. On one hand, you get a guy that's an amazing defensive coordinator, but you get a guy that has some familiarity with what goes on in that building. And I'll tell you right now, that building is a really special place. And I think a lot of people know that. But after leaving, playing for the Giants, and I mean playing for the Raiders, and previously playing for Green Bay and the Raiders before I got to New York, that's a really special place. And if I'm right on my timeline, it's been 4 years since they've won the Super Bowl, so I'm thinking about putting some money on them in Vegas because it seems to work out that way.
Dave, let me ask you this. Obviously speaking with so much pride about your time here with the Giants, Coach Tom Coughlin's one of those guys who – always makes players earn their snaps. And you're a great example, maybe the epitome of a Tom Coughlin player. You were not a top 10 draft choice who got first-round bonus money and had things handed to him on a silver platter. You had to work your butt off to get everything that you got. And I wonder, how much pride does that give you that you were able to win a championship for a guy like Coach Coughlin, knowing that you can always have your head held high with the respect of all the coaches and teammates and people who covered you over the years, because that's what happens when you work hard and you get those kinds of results.
Without question. And I think that speaks on the results that Tom Coughlin has had with the two Super Bowls in New York is really – it's not a science. You know, this is football. You need guys that work hard. You know, I got a funny story. OC, obviously, probably one of the greatest athletes to ever play the position in New York, but is a defensive end. And I used to always mess with him. I used to always tell him he was the hare and I was the tortoise. I said I wouldn't beat him in a race, but every time he turned around, I was going to be right there. I was going to be right behind him, and I was going to be pushing him. And that's a big part of it, Paul, is you need guys, I hate to say it, like me, Chase Blackburn, that probably aren't faces of the franchise. But I tell you what, we can start, and we're going to push those guys like JPP, Justin Tuck, O.C. Mignera for playing time, and that's what makes them better.
Well, I tell you what, Dave, give us an example, because Anita and I and John Schmelk and all the folks who do these shows, we get the calls from the fans, and they say, well, what does so-and-so have to do to make the team? What does so-and-so have to do to earn snaps on Sunday? Corey Washington's this wide receiver who had a terrific preseason last year, but Tom said he didn't do enough on special teams, and apparently he didn't practice well enough to earn snaps on Sunday. You, as the epitome of a guy who worked his butt off to gain that respect, what are some of the things? Give the fans an example or two of some of the things you have to do as you climb uphill to achieve the respect that you achieved.
I think the biggest thing, Paul, is doing whatever it takes. The coaches ask you to do something, you do it. I'll tell you what, I think I played about every position that you could on the field, on defense and special teams, and that wasn't because I was excelling necessarily at those particular spots, but I would do it. You know, you want to put me at the L5 on kickoff, I'll do it. You want to put me at linebacker on defense, I'll do it. And again, you hit the nail on the head. You got to do it at practice. If you can't do it at practice, they're not going to let you try it at the game. And you can ask anybody that I played against or played with, for that matter. I practiced like it was a game every day. And that was extremely important to me to build that trust up. So a guy, like you said, like Washington, he needs to take the reps in practice and he needs to take advantage of them. He needs to be in Coach Quinn's ear, Coach Quinn's pocket, telling him I'm ready for anything. What do you need me, gunner, personal protector on punt, whatever it is, a jammer on punt return? Let me get out there and do it. And it's not going to be a deal where Allen Iverson, right? Practice. We're talking about practice. No, that's the absolute wrong thing to say. Practice is extremely important because it's repetition, creating habits. So you take a guy like Corey Washington, he does it right in practice, they're going to let him do it in the game. So I think it's important to you have to take advantage of these reps in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, because the older guys are going to get breaks. They've earned the right to take a day off or two. So those days off, you go in there and you kick butt and you earn the spot.
David Tollefson joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, excited to have him on board. Obviously a former Giant, knows this team, this organization extremely well, from Tom Coughlin, of course, Spags. A buzz and an excitement this season, but probably one of the biggest concerns, Dave, is the offensive line. Unfortunately, Will Beattie goes down with a pectoral tear muscle, and rookie Eric Flowers now has to step up and take over that left tackle position. and really protect Eli Manning's blind side. Your thoughts, I mean, you know, in regard to a rookie coming into this league, coming into the NFL and starting at left tackle, how difficult of a challenge do you think that's going to be for this young man?
You know, it's going to be really hard. And I love Eli, but obviously you all know he's not the most mobile of quarterbacks. So you have to create a great pocket for him. And I think if you go back and you look at the film of Eli, anytime he has that great pocket and he can step into throws, he's a top five guy in the league. I don't think you can argue that. But the most important thing, I think, for this young man, Eric Flowers, is to embrace it. He needs to understand this is a great opportunity, not just for him to start, but him to contribute to a team that looks like it's lining up to have a shot. And that's all you can ask for, is have a shot to maybe win the division and then make a run in the playoffs. But, again, you look back at those playoff teams that I was on, the Super Bowl winners, especially in 2008 when we beat the Patriots when they were undefeated, we had some rookies that contributed. You know, Michael Johnson, Jay Alford, guys that were late-round draft picks, and Matt Bradshaw, that came in and made plays for us late. Because the bottom line is, guys, you know this, there's going to be injuries. We play a very physical game. Guys are going to get hurt. We'll be deep, you know, potentially out for the season. So I think at the end of the day, a kid like Flowers, you really don't have a choice, because I know when they suit up that week one, whoever they're playing against,
Dallas,
they're not going to care. Dallas is not going to care how many games Eric Flowers started in Miami. They're going to get after him, and they're going to get after him quick. So he's going to have to step his game up and make it happen.
Dave, let me ask you this. The front four in the Spags defense, as you know, is critical, because he would just put the defense on your guys' shoulders and say, look, I'm not going to send any help necessarily this week. I want you guys as a front four to do what you guys have to do, and I'll worry about scheming the back seven. So when you look at guys like DeMontre Moore, the rookie, Odighizuwa, you look at the veterans like Robert Ayers, JPP, what kind of pressure, what kind of structure are these guys looking at in terms of the responsibilities they will have in a Spags defense?
It's going to be huge. And you know, I love JPP. He's a great friend of mine, but the pressure is going to be on him as a leader of that defensive line to kind of set the tone. And you're exactly right. Any defensive coordinator in general would love to not blitz. Not everybody has that luxury of great pass rushers. I think the Giants, they have the potential to have that luxury this year of have, you know, a group of, like we had 5 to 6 guys that you could kind of rotate in there and get after the quarterback on a consistent basis. And then you mix in blitzes like what we did with Kubica in the first Super Bowl and with game planning, and they become very successful because you're not running them all the time. So it's extremely important. The biggest thing I could say about that front four, whoever it is that's starting, communication, communication, communication. I could tell you, me, Tuck, JVP, and OC, when we were out there on the field together, we knew exactly what we were doing. Not just individually, but I knew what OC was doing. I knew what Tuck was doing. I knew what JVP was doing. And you get this kind of symbiotic relationship amongst each other, and that's when you really step up your game and you get pressure on the quarterback.
Dave Tollison joining us. Dave, we're getting a ton of great positive feedback on Twitter. Giants fans who are watching the show right now, really thrilled that you're on board. I have a tweet here from Senior Lamas who says, you better ask him about his mother. So how is your mother? I'm assuming, how old is your oldest son? Is he playing football yet? Is your mom giving him any pep talks yet?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. She was actually in town here in Omaha for his first flag football game. So she gave him the PG version of the Tollison pep talk. You know, he was pretty fired up. I think he was just turned 5, so maybe it kind of went over his head a little bit. But, you know, beyond that, my mom's doing great. She's in California. She's retired. She just recently retired. She might have took it a little worse than I did when I retired. She's trying to find what she has to do with herself on Sunday still. But everybody's doing great. I appreciate the question.
Are the kids going to have to learn the sack dance too, Dave?
You know, that's funny you say that. My son's taking Taekwondo, my oldest, and he's probably got a better roundhouse than I do.
Not bad, not bad.
Dave.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I want to ask you, of all the plays, because I know what a team player you are, so I know the championships. are the most important things to you. I totally understand that. But I want you to be selfish for just a minute, please. Tell me if there's a play in your mind, in your career, that typifies what Dave Tollefson was as a player. Do you have a favorite play that maybe you could share with us? Because I've never asked you that before, and God knows, you played in the league for 7 years. I'm sure you got one.
I suppose I have a couple. I guess one of my favorite plays is down in Kansas City. I had a ton of family at the game. And there's a young man you guys probably remember from Alabama named Wallace Gilberry that was with the Giants for a little bit.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
He was signed off our practice squad to go to Kansas City. And he had called me and talked to me about how excited he was. I didn't have to worry anymore about him taking my job. And I told Wallace, I said, congratulations, Wallace. You know, you did a great job. I was a consummate team guy. I was more happy for him than maybe he was.
Sure.
That he was going to have a shot. So I go trotting out there on kickoff, and I hadn't thought about it all week, but I go trotting out there, and guess who's in the wedge for the Kansas City Chiefs? Wallace Gilberry. So I say, what a great opportunity to remind Wallace of what he's missing out on by leaving the New York Giants. So I ran down there, and I hit him with a ton of breaks, knocked him out. This is a little bit before the whole concussion protocol type of thing, I think.
I got you.
I won't get into too many specifics, but Brian Keel forced a fumble also on that play, and we recovered it. And it was probably one of my favorites, of just kind of a told-you-so type moment, I suppose.
And you know what I love about that, Anita? Because here's a defensive end who had, you know, that, hey, five sacks, five and a half, I think, in the Super Bowl season, 2011, and his favorite play is a special teams play. That tells you about what a blue-collar guy this guy is. This is why so many people were fans of yours, Dave. You know?
I appreciate it, man. I loved every aspect of the game. As long as it was physical, I wanted to be involved.
I remember when you crushed Rex Grossman down in Washington with an absolute pancake sack. I thought you might come back with that, but no, you come back with a special teams play.
But Dave, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, realistically, you know, not all players have that mindset. I mean, especially the ones that, you know, kind of have been drafted in the first and second round, who've always been stars of their football teams. You know what I mean? I think it's a work ethic. I think it's a mentality that only a percentage of guys who play in the NFL have. I don't think everybody has that type of mentality.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but I will tell you this. The guys that I played with specifically in that defensive line game, it was all the same. We just wanted to win football games and succeed, and we knew that individual success would come with a group success. Now, I was the only one, I believe, that played defensive end for the Giants for about 5 years that didn't make a Pro Bowl. I guess I'm pretty upset about that, but I can live with it.
Hey, before we let you go, shout out from Ben, who's watching the show. Love Tollefson as a Giant. Met his family at a game once. Great people. So you still have a lot of love down here in the New York area, or I should say over here in the New York area.
We got to get you back for a visit, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to try to come back to a game this year with the wife. So if I do, maybe we can hook up, do something in studio.
Absolutely, absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Thanks, Dave.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Anita. Thanks, Paul. Good talking to you guys. Take care.
You too.
You got it. So here's our show question. Again, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in, hashtag Giants Chat. Who do you think the most important reserve player will be this season for the Giants? Who do you think the most important reserve player will be for the Giants? Is there a Dave Tollefson on this team, on this roster right now, that you're expecting big things from this season? Again, 201-939-4513.
Can I just say one thing about
you can say
that
whatever,
guy?
You can say whatever you want. We got 40 more minutes. You say whatever you want, Paul Dottino.
That guy, if you could transplant his attitude, his guts, his heart, his desire, his unselfishness into 35-40% of the guys in this league, you know how great this league would be? But there are too many guys who are empty in a lot of those areas that don't carry all of that stuff with them, that make them the kind of player he was. And he was a giant. He was a real giant. I mean, he epitomized class, teamwork. I can't say enough about it because he's one of my favorite guys I've covered.
I'd say him and Chase Blackburn, to me.
Chase, another one.
Those two guys really, really impressed me tremendously. 201-939-4513. Think about it because obviously we're going to get all our listeners' reaction, but want to get yours as well in regard to who you think is going to be who's the Dave Tollefson on the team right now. So think about it.
Okay.
But let's head out to the phone lines. I know folks have been waiting for a hot second. Let's go to Ohio. Adam, you're up first. Welcome in.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, with Steve Spagnuolo back, how do you think this defense is going to replicate from how it was in the past to now? Or do you think he's going to bring in something new or any type of new methods and blitz packages and stuff like that?
Well, I think what you're going to see is a lot of what he did in the past, the basic 4-3, relying on the front four to get most of the job done up front with the dirty stuff, and then schematically try to work with the back seven. That was always Spags' way when he was here. Now, I'm sure that he knows he does not have Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, Osiyo Manure. There are guys in that front seven who are real special. You know, Antonio Pierce. They got good guys here, too. But those guys, they were something. And so Spags is going to have to make some adjustments because until he finds out what these guys can be and what they will be, he's going to have to probably do a little bit more schematically than what you're used to seeing. But if the front four comes along, and Anita, there's a lot of depth at defensive end on this position, on this team, in terms of quantity. If those guys play like they can, Ayers is healthy, Demontre Moore busts out, Kerry Wynn continues to improve. Spags is going to be able to do the Spag stuff that helped the Giants win a Super Bowl.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to see. I was just so excited when we got Spags back. That was probably one of my first dying questions was, how is it going to improve? How is it going to stay the same? So, yeah, that answers it very well.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for calling. 201-939-4513. Really quick, just when I said that Chase Blackburn kind of, to me, and Dave Tollefson were kind of both those kind of guys that always brought their lunch pail, always gave 125%. He just favored the tweet that Dave Tollefson was on the show today. How funny is that?
Very cool.
Yeah, just two really great guys. Here's some reaction on Twitter in regard to our show question. Who's going to be that sixth man off the bench? Who's going to be that reserve player who's going to have a really big impact this year? And we're getting some good feedback here on Twitter. Kerry Wynn, that reserve guy, thumbs up.
Absolutely would be in the conversation. No doubt about it.
Most important reserve player will be Nassib because if he has to play, he has to be stellar. It's from Ben. I kind of like that.
Wow. Now, that's an interesting take because in a perfect world, and nothing against Ryan, you don't want him to have to play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if he has to, if his number is called.
Got to get it done.
Right?
Yeah. That's an interesting call.
Most important reserve player is going to be Bromley. This is from ASVP ASF. Bromley. Him and Hankins on passing downs could be dangerous.
You know, Bromley's going to be part of that defensive tackle rotation, and it's not just the fact that on passing downs, but there are going to be times when teams are lined up in third down, they're going to try to run the ball with the draw and stuff, and the Giants did not do so well stopping that last year. So remember, if Bromley's in there, he can't be just thinking, I'm going to rush the passer. He's got to be an all-around player.
Here's another one from George saying Nassib, most important reserve player.
Wow. Wow. Little love from Syracuse.
I think a lot of love for Syracuse.
You know what? I'm surprised we haven't seen a Jameel McClain yet, to be honest with you. Because
is that who your guy is? Is that why you're throwing it out? Is that who's PDOT's guy? Who's your guy?
To be honest, Shane Vereen. Because
I don't look at him as a reserve. Come
you
on,
don't?
You got to come stronger than
technically,
that.
Technically, he's the third running back.
No,
no, you don't like that?
No.
I'll think about it.
No. I'm looking at Rashad Jennings and Shane Vereen as 1A, 1B this year. I really am. I don't think this is going to be Rashad Jennings backfield and then, oh, let's work in Vereen and let's work in Andre Williams. I'm not looking at it that way.
Okay.
So
Well, then you can disqualify my answer.
I just did.
I know.
So I need
another. She does that a lot.
So I need another one. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Chicago, Chi-Town, calling in with Daniel. Daniel, you're up.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
All right.
I have a quick question. I wanted to ask the main issue that everyone was having. Well, the main issue that kept Corey Washington off the field was his inability to run routes as it was supposed. I just wanted to know, like, is that corrected by now, or is that still an issue, an ongoing issue?
Coach Coughlin said the other day Corey Washington has done a much better job and improved his play during the spring with the first-team offense. Eli Manning himself said Corey's doing a much better job with the whole route tree as opposed to just the straight-ahead deep stuff. So there's no question that that part of his game is better. Now, what we don't know is what about the special teams portion of it, because, again, there's no contact going on in OTAs, and that's part of that deal. And then the other thing we don't know is, as we get into training camp and then into the season, how is Corey Washington going to practice on a daily basis? Because inconsistent practice habits will get you on the bench. It's just that simple. Seriously.
Understood.
Okay? Thank you.
Okay. We're getting more. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. We're getting more Twitter response. Here's a new one for you. We're talking about most productive reserve player getting playing time. It's going to be DeMontre Moore, but we're expecting DeMontre Moore to be a starter.
Well, he's going to be heavy in the rotation. I don't even know if you can say that there's a reserve or a starter amongst those defensive ends, which is why it's kind of tricky to name Kerry Wynn. But if you're going to name Wynn and make him eligible for the question, then I think DeMontre Moore can be eligible for the question, too, because I think JPP and Ayers will probably be the two starters at defensive end. So that's legit. I think that's certainly in the ballpark. I think I might still pitch McLean, though, because, quite frankly, Anita, the Giants are going to be thin at linebacker, I think, regardless of how many they keep. And you just don't know about John Beeson's health. And we saw last year how McLean had to actually step up and be the starting middle linebacker for much of the season. So I would say that while I would hope that McLean didn't have to do that again this year, I think he's a very, very important reserve on this team. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Wynn seems to be Tolleson, a Tolleson clone. That's from Ed. Nicholas actually agrees with you, feels that Vereen would be the most important reserve player. He'll be key on third downs. See, but I get it. I understand if that's the way that you're envisioning the way that Shane Vereen's going to be utilized. I'm not.
He's going to see a lot of touches.
I think he's going to have a much bigger role here than just a third down role. I just see his role much, much different than what we got used to seeing with the Patriots. And quick note here, the Patriots let go of a tight end by name of Tim Wright, who I'm a really, really, really big fan of. Not sure what the Giants might do, if anything, but I think he's a superb talent. Not sure why the Patriots did let him go. Could be some issues there that we're not even aware of, but I'd keep an eye on him. I'm a big fan of this young man.
Very talented move tight end with very good receiving skills. He was a wide receiver at Rutgers some years ago, and that's the traits that he brings to the table. Interesting cut, though. Certainly out of nowhere and at a very odd time. You don't often see veterans cut like right now in this particular part of the calendar.
That's why I'm saying we don't know what the specifics are. But nonetheless, just keep an eye on him. Let's go to line three. Jeff is calling in from New York. Jeff, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, how are you guys this afternoon?
Great.
Hi.
Just one thing. I agree with you, Paul, on Shane Vereen being very effective. The year the Giants went to the Super Bowl in 2011 season, they were amazing in third down. And Vereen's going to have to play a big role, and he will on that. Now, I have two questions. First, Omagbe Odighizuwa and Robert Ayers. Who do you see getting more time on the field and being more effective? I know Steve Spagnuolo's got his rotation. They're both going to be a part of it. But who do you see being more effective? In the collegiate level, Omagbe Odighizuwa, they lined him up like either over the tackle or the tight end.
Right.
When, right. diminishing, like, his pass rush ability. Yes. In the pros, they're going to line him up wider, which will give him an opportunity to use some of that athletic ability to perhaps rush the passer. That's why I see Omagbe Odigizio better in the pros. And he was able to stop the run, just like Robert Ayers has been able to for years past. But who do you see being more effective? And Jamil McLean, assuming John Beeson stays healthy, what do you see his role in with the team?
Well, first things first, why don't I let Anita take Beeson? I'll just talk about the defensive ends here and tell you that Odigizua, you absolutely described him to a T. He was asked to play the run a whole lot more at UCLA than he was to rush the passer, and it's expected that they will unleash some of his pass-rushing talents here in the NFL. And I just think it's going to be really exciting to watch this guy develop. Now, at the moment, he's got a sore leg, and they're keeping him out of OTAs. So that's going to throw him behind a little bit. You got to understand, he's coming in raw as a rookie, and Robert Ayers has been in this game for a long time. So I would expect that at least at the beginning of the season, Ayers would probably be more effective and probably get more snaps. But as time goes on, I think Double O is going to be a very interesting guy to watch. I think he's probably got a very high ceiling. Now, why don't you address Beeson?
What, I'm sorry, I was paying attention to the tweets. So what was the exact question about Beeson?
He was curious about Beeson's role in the Spags defense and how he fits this year.
Jamil's role, if Beeson stays healthy throughout the season, assuming he stays healthy.
Okay,
if
thank
he
you.
Does.
I mean, if Beeson plays, I think, look, if Beeson plays 16, I think we both agree. He's on the field the whole time. I mean, it's going to be hard to get him off the field.
Because he's not going to want to come off.
No.
But I think it's evident that, you know, you have a guy who's susceptible to injury, and I think it's evident the way that the Giants have been handling him throughout OTAs that they're going to be very cautious and very careful with him this season.
He's his own worst enemy because he plays so hard. And so they're really pulling him back. Even now in OTAs, they're pulling him back, trying to make sure that they can get as many snaps out of him as they can. McLean, you covered McLean for a year in Baltimore or two?
No, actually. I left Baltimore when McLean was there. Or I may have been there his first year, but you had such depth with Ray Lewis and those guys at the linebacking position. I think Bart Scott was still there that he was,
right,
you know, he wasn't getting a lot of playing time.
Okay, because what I was going to say is you told me about him when they signed him. Mm-hmm. You knew enough about him to say, hey, you're going to
like
this guy.
Well, they're really high on him. Really high on him right out of college and then just watching him from afar.
I mean, he's best suited as the strong side backer. He played out of position last year because the Giants needed him to. At the moment, Kennard's going to be the starting strong side backer. Now,
can you see Kennard play middle at all?
I can see it. I think if Beeson goes down with injury, there's a chance that Kennard might wind up moving into the middle. Because how about this? How about, and again, John, stay healthy, okay? Please, just don't make this an issue. But if you get hurt, how about Kennard in the middle and McLean strong side and Thomas on weak side? How about that for a three instead of putting McLean in the middle? Because Kennard, to me, I like his anticipation skills. I like his instincts. Not that McLean doesn't have that. But Kennard seems to just be more of a big playmaker, a little bit quicker to the ball. He's got something. I really like Kennard a lot.
How is he communication-wise? Because that's the biggest knock on Herzlick in regard to playing the middle linebacking position, is that he's just not a great communicator.
Seems to me, from what I understand with Kennard, he has really not only gone to the speed training during the offseason to try to improve his footwork, but has also become even more of a study workout guy. At UCLA, he was known to be a high football study guy. I'm told that he has really cracked the books. He's got like this whiteboard like we have here at the Giants facility where people like draw up all kinds of ideas and things that they want to do. He's got a whiteboard at home that he's constantly drawing plays on because he's really soaking himself into it. He's expecting to have a really big year under Spags this season. So, yeah, I could see that happening. It's possible.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and, of course, on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We had Dave Tollison on a little bit earlier. If you missed that interview, I highly recommend you go back and you listen to it on the podcast once it's reposted on Giants.com later on this afternoon. Our show question is, who's the next Dave Tollefson on this team? It doesn't necessarily have to be a defensive player. Just, you know, that reserve guy who's going to step in and make plays for you and just be a big playmaker for the Giants in 2015. And a lot of feedback on Twitter right now. That's why I was paying more attention to
That's
Twitter.
Okay.
I apologize.
Well, you do that better than I do.
Well, yeah. Go figure. So here's from Kunal, K-U-N-A-L. Most impressive reserve equals backup slot corner.
Backup slot corner. In other words, slash, because that would probably be McBride, at least at the moment. And there's no question that that's an important position.
This is from Joe.
Is the slot corner a starter or a reserve? You know, he plays a lot.
Joe, you all continue to underestimate Andre Williams. He'll be one of the biggest X factors this year. Bold prediction.
Nobody in this room is going to underestimate Andre Williams. Big fan of Andre Williams. I think he's going to be terrific. I think the problem comes in, and this is one of the reasons why you can't name Reuben Randall as one of the answers, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of three wide sets. All three running backs are going to see a lot of time. It's like, are they really reserves or not? I mean, because otherwise you could certainly say that Randall's going to have a really good season, especially if Cruz comes back and starts opposite Beckham. Then Randall is the three. So, I don't know that I can go there. But
this is from Keith. Dwayne Harris, special teams, with field advantage, yards after the punt catch.
I'll give you an interesting player, you know, and quite frankly, you know, we just don't know exactly what to expect out of the safeties right now. And if the Giants are going to go to some three safety look, who's going to be that third safety? Is Casillas, who is a sub nickel sub linebacker with the Patriots, he probably will play that with the Giants. So is he going to be an important guy when they have to go to the sub package? Could be. Does Michael Thompson, the rookie safety from Texas, beat him out? Does he become that guy? Do one of the other corners become that person? There are a lot of answers here.
Let's go to line two. Richie calling in from Long Island. Richie, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
I think DeMontre Moore is going to be a big step. He's going to take a big step. He's only 22 right now. He turns 23, I believe, in like September.
Right.
Already has, this will be his third season in, so I really see him having a big breakout year. I can't believe that he's only 22 right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have third year experience already. I also see Shane Vereen, what you're saying, Paul, as being a very important specialist, you know, into it, because third downs, pass catching, you know, I definitely see him having an impact. Just wanted to say the town hall appearance, that was really good to see. It was good to see, you know, fans, you know.
Did you attend that, Richie?
No, I did not attend. I just saw the highlights from the website. Hopefully they'll put up more highlights from the website, but, you know, it was really good to see that, you know, the interaction with the fans and, you know, kids asking Eli Manning a question. I think one of the kids asked Eli Manning, who would you not want to get hit by the most? That was pretty funny.
Well, Richie, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. And if there's any Giants fans out there right now that are watching and you did attend the town meeting last night, would love for you to call in and kind of share with us your experience. I heard that it was absolutely phenomenal. So unfortunately, myself, Paul Dottino, was not there. So we'd love to hear from Giants fans. If you did attend, we'd love to hear from you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line four. Abdul from Minneapolis, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have two things to say. First thing, I think the most important backup will be whoever's backing up Victor Cruz. Going into camp, we're not sure even if Victor's going to be there, and how long he could play or how many plays he could play each game. So I think whoever is the backup slot on the offense is really, really important. And second of all, I'm just going back to yesterday, or a few days ago, someone wrote in that Reese was voted the 26th best GM, and everyone was like, how can we say that? Because we haven't played a single down yet. And I think that's based off of perception. Yesterday, I believe Paul brought up, he was a little confused why we signed Casillas, because he wasn't getting playing time with starters. He wasn't getting on the field a lot. He wasn't sure exactly how they were going to use him.
I'm not sure how they will. I wonder if the sub package is going to be his specialty. I'm curious to see. We do know he's a good special teamer, though.
Okay. And I'm not saying you're wrong or right, or even if – I don't think Reese is that bad either. But I'm saying people see the moves that he's made. Also, this offseason, we gave a lot of money to people who are not going to start, right, instead of addressing certain holes that we had. I think they're addressed during the draft, but people are still not sure exactly what he's doing. And I think him being ranked 26th or 29th is based on perception, not on actual accomplishments yet or the team's record yet. But people are still kind of scratching their head a lot. How could we sign that guy, Mikel Thompson, from Texas in the fifth round, where we probably could have gotten him as a free agent? You know, the people are still kind of scratching their heads about, you know, things he's done. I think he's great. I like him. I think I'm glad he's a GM. But I understand why people might rank him that low, because a lot of the things he's done the past 5 or 6 years, us not making the playoffs and what he's done, has left a lot of room for criticism. I think the past two drafts so far he's been great, but before that, not a great record. I personally like him. I think he's a great GM. I think he has a great relationship with the players, and which is really important. And I think, you know, I think everyone has ups and downs, but I understand where they're coming from, and I don't see it as such an outrageous position to have that he's, you know, has been kind of shaky as a GM.
Well, thank you for your phone call. Appreciate it.
The one comment that I do want to make about Casillas, and he was talking about basically player deployment issues, and you know, I'm curious myself about some of the player deployment issues, but that's a coaching situation. That's not a Jerry Reese situation. You know, Jerry brings the guys in, and then the coaches, they're going to practice them. They're going to get them into the study room and the film room, and they're going to look at what these guys can do, and then they're going to deploy them how they see fit. So my curiosity with how Casillas is going to be used is more with Spags and the defensive coaches. That has really nothing to do with Jerry. Just to make that clear, because I think he was kind of confusing that a little bit. Like, well, why did Jerry sign this guy? Well, let's see what the coaches do with him. I don't know yet.
Right. Here's a tweet from Nicholas in regard to who's going to be the most important reserve player this season for the Giants. Based on the last two seasons, the most important reserve will be the team doctor.
Oh.
That was cute. Come on.
Yeah.
That's creative.
Okay.
That's creative.
It is good.
Randall is younger than Kelvin Benjamin. No, he's not. Is he? How's he younger?
You know what? We can go. Well, Randall did come out early. Let me see what Kelvin Benjamin's age is.
Yeah,
I don't know. Let me look up that.
Look at his age.
And you take a look at Ruben's.
Because Randall, this is Randall's third year, right?
Yeah.
This is Randall's third year.
Yeah.
And so this will be Kelvin's second year.
He is February 5th of 91. February 5th of 91. All right. Where are you, Rube? What do you got? May 7, 91.
He's about 3 months, February, March, April,
months.
May. Yeah, so 3 months older
than
Ruben Randall.
It's pretty wild.
Interesting.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, here's the one guy we always
thank
talk
you for
about.
The tweet.
It's very good. Birthdays, ages, I'm X's and O's. But anyway, here's what I will say. We do remind ourselves constantly that DeMontre Moore, who has a world of potential, came out really young coming out of college. We're talking about Eric Flowers, who basically had 2.5 years of experience coming out early from Miami. You do sometimes have to remind yourself of those things, especially if the guy's only in his first couple of years of his career, that there is a development curve there. So it's a great point, and I appreciate it. Although Ruben Randall, to me, he should be way past that development curve. He should be what he is. He's got to be more consistent.
How about wide receiver Dwayne Harris? Cruz is back up and definitely going to open things up on the offense as well as contribute heavily to special teams. And that's from ASVP. I like it. Out of all the tweets that we're getting, I kind of Dwayne Harris to me. I know offense, defense, we had Tollefson on defense. We're saying as a whole, the team as a whole. I kind of dig that. I think I'm leaning more that way because we don't listen. Everything that we've seen from Victor Cruz looks good, sounds good, you know. But we're really not going to know until they put the pads on and right. He's out there and he's cutting and he's, you know, we're really not going to know. We could sit here and we could be as optimistic as we want to be, but we don't know.
If I was keeping score here, I could come back and disqualify you for that because he's going to be starting on special teams, you see. So maybe he's not really.
Yeah,
reserved.
But that's not what we're talking. We're
I know.
Come on.
I'm just getting on you a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you are. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Ann, you're up next. How you doing?
I'm fine. Good afternoon.
Hi.
This, your question regarding the reserve player that would be the most, what did you say, the most what, effective?
Yes, the most important reserve player on the team this year.
Okay, first of all, I have two things to say. I believe that would be Corey Washington. Secondly, you, sir, this is directed to Paul Dottino, you, sir, ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Okay.
And the reason why, I find it reprehensible and indefensible that you would go out and you would agree or that Tom Coughlin is correct in not letting this guy see the field because he doesn't play special teams. The guy is a receiver. It's about when you get your opportunity, you excel at that. And the Giants need a 6'4" receiver out there because Victor Cruz probably will not be back. I don't believe in I'm not paid by the Giants, and I'm not out to market T-shirts just to get to say that he's going to be back because right now there's no contact. And you should plan so he will not be back. And so I think, in fact, as I recall, the record last year was 6-10. 6-10 record. So I think it's reprehensible that you would defend the coach's actions of keeping guys like this off the field.
Let me ask you a question.
Because they don't practice well or special teams.
Oh, time out, time out. Now, let me ask you a question.
This is going to get good.
David Tyree was a wide receiver, right? Dominic Hickson was a wide receiver. Right?
I don't care
Corey
about
Washington's
that. Those are two different
wide
guys.
Receiver.
Let me say this much about David Tyree. David Tyree never got to see the field, which was also reprehensible. So those actions of that coach cannot be defended. I'm sorry. And so, you know what? For you to defend them, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's time to give those an opportunity who have not gotten an opportunity. That was a 6-10 team last year. 6-10.
Ann, thank you for the phone call. I do have to let you go. Listen, Corey Washington gets a lot of love from a lot of fans. But
who picked him as the dark horse player at rookie minicamp last year?
No, you did. You did. I understand. But also, you know,
I am a fan.
Ann, understand something, and that is this just isn't a Giants thing. This just isn't a Tom Coughlin thing. If you're not one of the starting 22 guys, you need to contribute on special teams. That's a league-wide thing. That's how coaches coach in the NFL because you only have so many spots on your roster that you need guys that are going to step up on special teams. And if they're not starting, they need to contribute in more than just one way. And that's I mean so you know it's not just a Tom Coughlin thing. It's not just a Giants thing. It's how teams operate.
And, you know, I might add, too, Anita, and I know you appreciate this because you always love the passing game. There's one football, right? There's one football. And if you're going to talk about guys who are going to get snaps and guys who are going to play on Sunday, you're going to have to put the guys out there who have the most accomplished resumes. And it's very hard right now to say Corey Washington should be on the field getting a bunch of passes thrown to him when guys ahead of him on the depth chart are Odell Beckham Jr., Reuben Randle, potentially Victor Cruz if he's still healthy. Larry Donnell has to catch his amount of passes. I mean, what did he catch, 65 last year? You know that Vereen's going to catch a bunch of passes out of the backfield. So, I appreciate that you like Corey Washington's talent. Heck, I like his talent too. I wanted him to make the team last year, and I still want him to make the team. But in fairness, at the moment, he, at best, is a situational role player in this offense because there are a lot of other guys who have accomplished resumes ahead of him who deserve to have the ball before he gets it.
Really quick, before we continue with your calls, 201-939-4513, I just want to give a shout-out to David Wilson. I know he's no longer on the team, but this is going to be a really big weekend for him. He's taking his first steps towards qualifying for the USATF Outdoor Championships in the triple jump, and it starts this weekend at the Adidas Grand Prix NYC, his first professional track and field event this weekend for David Wilson. His ultimate goal is to qualify for the 2016 Olympics in Rio. Former high school national champion in the long jump. So he needs to finish first among the top three at the 2016 U.S. Olympic trials in order to represent the United States. So this weekend is his first professional track and field event. So positive thoughts, a lot of prayers out to David Wilson. He's just a really phenomenal young man. Had an unfortunate situation, health situation, with his dream of becoming a professional football player, as we know, but given a second shot to really do something special and unique with his life. So just want to give him a shout-out and really all good positive vibes heading his way. I think it would be a tremendous story if he was able to make the USA team and represent the United States. I mean, just tremendous.
Were you here the day that he retired and had his press briefing?
Yes.
And he was in tears up at the microphones, and he was talking about how his whole life he wanted to be a Super Bowl champion in pro football, but if he couldn't do that because of his neck, he wanted to be a champion in track and field at the Olympics, and that would be as meaningful to him. You know, it would be on the same stage or same level. He was like, don't cry for me. Don't be sad for me. I can still be a champion at something. So how could you not want this guy to win? I mean, we're all pulling for him.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line 3, Joe in PA calling in. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Great to be on the show again. Just like Tolleson and Blackburn, Kawika Mitchell came to my mind, another guy that always stepped forward and made big plays in the past for the Giants, too. He was in that role, too, I thought.
Kawika Mitchell, very interesting. I want to just mention real quickly, and I wanted to let you get back to your comment. Mitchell comes to the Giants on a one-year minimum deal, that year, when they were kind of thin at linebacker and they weren't really sure what they were going to do. And Mitchell was cut by the Chiefs. He had played some inside, played some outside, and it was kind of like a shot in the dark. They weren't really sure what they were getting, but they took a chance on him because he was a veteran and seemed to be a real pro's pro. So they bring him in here, and Spags realized that Kawika Mitchell had a straight-ahead blitz capability that the Chiefs did not use when he was in Kansas City. They asked him to be more of a gap linebacker and more of a horizontal flow linebacker. Spags said, wait a minute, I'm going to use you more as a blitzer. I want you to attack the line of scrimmage instead of letting things come to you. And he made Mitchell a very productive player in that defense. And so I just had to bring that up because there's a great example when fans ask about Spags and what makes him special. There's a great example of how he was able to get something out of Kawika Mitchell more than what he had shown when he was with Kansas City. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I thought he just fell right in with them guys, too, really. He always stepped forward and made plays. I think he was only there 1 year with the Giants.
That's correct.
Wasn't he, Paul?
And then he signed a free agent deal with the Buffalo Bills. They gave him some pretty good money to go up there.
Yeah, I couldn't blame him, but I was sorry to see him go, but he really stepped forward with the Giants. I guess in the reserve player, I was thinking, too, maybe like even someone like Robinson or Harris, or one of the receivers, if they can step forward, because whoever makes the team, because there's going to be a lot of one-on-ones, just like Shane Vereen there, or the running backs, you know, who with these receivers, with everybody doubling Beckham and that, if they can make mismatches and step forward, it could be one of them too, Paul. That's all I want to say there. So
good stuff.
Joe,
thanks for
thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Eric in Long Island. Eric, welcome.
Yes.
Oh. Hi, Whoa. You're up.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
Fumbling around with the phone.
I have bad reception. I'm at work. But I just wanted to talk about, first I wanted to say, shout out to David Wilson for real, very solid, and continue to follow his dream. But I really want to talk about our wide receiver core. I heard the caller before the last caller was talking about I think Clue might not be healthy enough. I think if Clue is healthy, a wide receiver core could be one of the best in the league. And I think Washington should get a little burn, but coming behind Randall. What do you guys think about that?
You know, Reuben Randall, as Anita knows, when he was drafted, and I said to her right away, this guy's got a skill set to be really good.
Right.
And it's like, well, let's see now how he employs that. And, you know, for 2 years, he was just so inconsistent. Last year, he got better, but he's still not where he's got to be. And it's hard to say about a guy who caught over 900 yards worth of passes. I think he can be better, and I know the coaches think he can be better.
Yeah, but listen, and thank you for the phone call. You know, we've seen that peaks and valleys with his time here. We've seen him be really, really phenomenal.
Nix-like.
I'm sorry?
Akeem Nix-like.
Yes,
at times.
We have seen that. My thing is, we know it's there because we've seen it. My thing is consistency. I'm not waiting to see what he can do. We know what he can do. All I'm saying is, can he do it week in and week out? My thing is consistency when it comes to Reuben Randall. Not talent, not ability, not skill, not what, we don't know what he can bring. We know what he can bring to the table. We just need to see it every week.
He's one of those guys that on Sunday morning, you want to grab him by the shoulders, shake him and say, bring it!
Yes. Yes, you do. Absolutely. Hold on 1 second. Let's go back to our phone lines. We've got Randy in Virginia. Randy, welcome.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How are y'all doing?
Hi.
Okay.
Paulie D, you were on a couple of days ago. I don't remember if it was with John or Lance, and we were talking about how many wide receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still kind of stuck on that six number.
Okay.
Jeremy Davis, and, you know, I thought it was interesting when Reuben Randall, I like that Inside the Huddle series y'all been doing, by the way. I think that's great.
Thank you.
When he was talking about Jeremy Davis, I thought it was interesting. He said he kind of reminds me of me, you know, as far as the build. And, you know, I would probably go as far as say Jeremy is probably a little bit more athletic than Reuben. But, I mean, those are big guys, too. Everybody thinks you have to have, like, a 6'4 guy, you know, to, you know, provide mismatches. But, you know, I think – he's been very undervalued, and I think he's going to not only answer part of that six wide receiver question, but also your Dave Tollefson question for today. I could see him being someone who really just is a wild card and steps up and is maybe the I don't know how to put it, the shock of the year for the team.
Jeremy
I think
Davis,
he could step up pretty big.
Yeah, he goes.
Thank you for the call.
They're listing him at 6'2", 216. He looks bigger than that. I've seen the cut-ups on him. He plays bigger than that. He's fearless over the middle. He's very physical when he gets the football. He attacks the ball and fights for the ball. This guy is going to be fun to watch over the course of his career. Now, at the beginning, they're talking about how important he's going to be on specials because he's already looked up to David Tyree and said, hey, David, I want to be a Pro Bowl special teams guy like you were. So he's using Tyree as his template, which is a great thing to do. At the moment, I just don't see him being involved a whole lot in the offense because of all the depth at receiver. But I think over time, you're going to see a role for this guy because he is so good at attacking the football and fighting defensive backs to make sure he gets it. A lot of guys don't do that in the league these days, Anita. You know that? A lot of receivers, I don't want to call them wussy, but, you know, if a defensive back wants to...
That's your word of the day, folks.
Well, if the defensive back wants the ball more than you, chances are it's not going to be completed.
Two things I do want to touch on before we sign off today. Tomorrow it is John Schmelk and Lance Meadow, and I know that they're going to dive into this Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
Right? This Pro Football Focus article that came out ranks the Giants 20th overall out of 32 teams in regard to what? Are you?
I John mentioned it to me, and I said, well, what is the criteria? And he didn't have time to tell me, and I don't even think he researched it. So I don't know what the criteria is, but I know the Giants were
is
not very high.
The criteria is based on roster in regard to the most talent on teams' rosters. The top five players that Pro Football Focus have for the Giants is Odell, Jeff Schwartz, JPP, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, and Hankins. Those are their top five. Starters who should be upgraded: Selvey, Jamal McClain, Beeson, JT Thomas, I'm telling you about it, folks, Richburg, and John Jerry. So anyway, I just want to give you a heads up. Maybe you have an opportunity later on today or tonight. Look at the article because I think it's really going to be a fun discussion, interesting discussion with John Schmelk and Lance Meadow tomorrow here on the show, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Like I said, they're going to dive into this Pro Football Focus article that came out on the Giants. That's number one. Number two, we sign off tonight. Big NBA game that's going on, of course, as we know, with the Cavaliers. They're up 2-1 in the series, going up against Golden State in Cleveland. And I'm going to tie this full circle back to the Giants. I was listening to Colin Cowherd the other day.
Okay.
And Colin Cowherd, what he did is he used the analogy that this NBA series is very similar to the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl, where you're watching, and you're waiting for Tom Brady and the Patriots and the sexy offense to finally wake up.
Wow.
And actually play the way that you saw them play throughout the regular season.
Wow.
But it never happened. And all the Giants kept on doing was punching them in the mouth. And that Patriots offense that got them to be undefeated and got them to that Super Bowl never was able to shine because of the way that the Giants played defense. And so as you can see, he's comparing the Cleveland Cavaliers to the Giants.
Yeah.
And the Golden State to the Patriots. So I'm going to swing this back your way because obviously you were here covering the team during that Super Bowl. Do you agree with Colin Cowherd? Do you think that's an accurate analogy heading into tonight's matchup?
It's a great comparison. The only hole in it for me, Anita, is that the Patriots had championship metal. They had character. They had experience as champions prior. This Warriors team does not look like a championship team to me. They are not poised in crunch time. They do not play clean basketball when it counts the most. No matter how many times they come back, in the latter stages of the game, in the final few minutes and in overtime, they're sloppy, they turn the ball over, they take bad shots, they don't hustle for offensive rebounds. Those are things that championship teams have to do. And so I would say there's a hole in the argument because the Warriors do not show championship character.
So what you're saying is you don't even see a Golden State team even comparable, not even on the same level as the Patriots team of that year.
The Patriots teams of prior to that had already been champions. This Warriors team has won nothing.
Interesting. So, hey, we thank you all for tuning in today. Really appreciate it for Paul Dottino, myself, all of us here at the Giants facility. And again, please make sure you tune in tomorrow with John Schmelk and Lance Meadow. Very interesting show that I think will be quite entertaining in regard to Pro Football Focus's article that just came out. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt.
Close intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!